Hello, everybody. I'm CJ Liu. Welcome to the Fired Up with CJ show on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. Today, we have Ragini Michaels here to coach us on how we can feel compassion versus fear or anger and how we can use that in a real life scenario.
Hello,
welcome,
CJ.
Ragini.
Thank you.
So I was actually trolling the some boards on compassion, and there was a gal who wrote and said, "My boss is seriously a jerk. He's offensive, he makes sexist and racist remarks, and he drains everyone with his negative energy. He's chronically critical, belligerent, indignant, angry, and just plain rude." Okay. Sorry. Sorry, the person out there who has a boss like this, but it's hard. It's really hard to feel compassion for someone who is treating you in an abusive way, or feeling is in an unjustified way, or is rude. And then again, as your boss, you have to see them every day. Mm-hmm. So what advice would you give this person? How would they feel compassion for someone who drains?
Well, the first thing I would say is check your attitude towards the situation. If you're not looking at it as a scenario that life is giving you to learn something, it's going to be doubly hard to deal with it. Mm-hmm. So take a look first and ask yourself, you know, are you feeling like a victim here? Are you feeling run over? And are you feeling angry and blaming? If you are, those things are fine. But in order to deal with them in the most effective way, the first thing you want to do is remind yourself that you do have the option to look at this as a gift from that old, good old universe out there to help you learn something. Mm. Now, if you don't need to look at it that way, but I tell you, it is easier that way. You know, it's just easier, because when you do that, you're actually activating things inside your system, your wisdom, your knowledge that you've already gathered in other scenarios to come up and support you in this scenario, which is really a tough one. I mean, mm-hmm. This is one of the toughest things that you're going to have to deal with, especially I see a lot of people like this in my office who are locked into a corporate position in a hierarchy where their bosses or the people they work with would be similar to this person mm-hmm. that we're talking about, who is this boss. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that would be the first thing I'd say. Okay. Mm-hmm. The second thing is emotionally get some distance. You got to step way back. Mm-hmm. So if you don't do any kind of meditation or anything, that probably is going to be a little hard for you, but at the very least, take a deep breath and go into the bathroom.
I mean, after this person has raged at you?
Yeah, if you have to, you know, I mean, because it's a very difficult situation, because if you just rage back, you have the possibility of losing your job, which means then you don't have money to support your family or yourself. And so it can generate a lot of consequences.
Right.
On the other hand, you don't really have to stay in a situation where you get abused 24/7 or for the whole time you're at the office. This comes down eventually to a choice about whether or not you wish to stay there. But what we're talking about is
whether you're going to say something to HR or whatever, right?
Of course. Speak to HR, you know, do whatever you need to do. We're talking about what do you do on the inside.
Yep.
Because then whatever you do will be affected by the attitude and the intention that you have inside of you towards that person.
Yes. Yeah.
If you want them to get in trouble, if you want them to be blamed, if you want them to be fired, and you're angry and you're pissed off and you feel betrayed and you've taken offense, you're not going to be able to ask for help in the same way as if you have worked through all of those emotions that you have and come up with a sense of compassion. So how do you do it? Take a breath, get some distance from the scenario, right? Ask yourself inside, where have you also done the same thing? Mm-hmm. Whether you've expressed it externally or not, where have you been offensive? Where have you thought, if not said, a sexist remark? Where have you felt in your heart a racist experience where you felt an aversion from somebody of a different religion or
ethnicity or whatever?
Where have you been negative to the extent that everyone else in the room was affected by your negativity? Where have you been critical? Where have you been belligerent? Where have you been indignant?
Right.
When have you gotten angry other than just this moment when you're angry at your boss?
Right.
And where have you been rude? So when you realize that you have also done all of these same things, right, then you can say, and they all hurt you. Why did you do them? Because you were in pain.
Right.
Now, you don't know the guy's story.
Right.
But you don't need to know someone's story to feel empathy or compassion.
Okay, so I'll tell you what I've done in comparable scenarios.
Okay,
the person is driving and cuts you off, and you're kind of getting pissed off inside. And so what I do, maybe these are unhealthy, so you can tell me if these are unhealthy strategies. But what I say to myself is, okay, I'm actually ready to judge this person as a jerk and inconsiderate and a series of judgmental statements that follow. And then I say to myself, who knows? Maybe this guy's wife is pregnant and he's rushing back to get to his wife who's pregnant and he's really worried because it's his first child. I'm like, I'm not sure what the story is, but I might as well imagine the story that gives the guy a break. You know, it's like you, because here's the thing, what I've learned from coaching is you really just never know. You never know on someone's life story. And perhaps if I met this boss and I met maybe his mom or dad, who's offensive, sexist and racist, I'd be like, well, now I get it. You know, it's not the guy almost, it was hard for him to choose.
It's not a bad strategy because it allows you to let that person be without you getting engaged in trying to send harm back to him.
Right.
On the other hand, internally, it doesn't really lead you to empathy because you're not really sharing in their pain.
You're trying
to understand it intellectually, which is fine.
Yeah.
But what I heard you just do was once you had a story that made it easy for you to let him be,
yeah,
you know, then you let him be, but you didn't go in and say, oh my goodness, I feel my heart hurts for him.
Okay. Yeah, I go into like, hey, you know what? Have you ever rushed around before?
Yes. If you do that piece of it,
right.
If you do that piece of it, then you're getting yourself into empathy where you're able to say, I know the feeling that's driving him to be that kind of a rude person behind the wheel.
Okay. And I'm never quite ready to say, peace and love be with you, which I think is...
It's a nice thing to be able to do, especially when I'm in my car, and that's one of the places where I get triggered a lot, and I hear myself say, you idiot,
right,
to somebody who just cut in front of me, and then I take a breath and I go, okay, sorry, blessings to you.
Oh, that's nice. Okay, that's nice.
And I do that like a lot because I get irritated. I get irritated with drivers. It's one of my places where I forget that I'm a loving human being.
And but then I love the blessings to you. It's like I'm pissed off. Blessings to you. I kind of like that.
Well, I'm sorry. You know, I threw that out. I was unmindful. I was not present in the sense that I wasn't aware of it before it came out of my mouth. Right. And there it was. And then I got present to it and I go, I don't really want to do that. I mean, what am I doing? So I'm sorry. I always apologize. I'm sorry. And blessings to you.
Yeah.
It kind of balances it out. You know, it's there you have it.
It's
a shortcut.
So I'll give you one other strategy that I've used when I've had this comparable scenario. And maybe it's not a good one. So tell me. I was in a meeting when I was working at Microsoft. And this gentleman was just, he made some type of offensive comment. And I've actually had several. I had this when I was General Electric. I have a lot of offensive comments.
Coming at you or is people just making them?
They're just making them and I just can't stand it. Okay, so this, I'll do one really early in my career. I was working at General Electric. I was probably like 20 something and I was managing a big department. And there was this little old lady, I can't remember her name. It's like Janie or something like that, that had been doing this job forever. And she was now being replaced by a computer. Mm-hmm. And, sorry, people, but this was the reality. And so this guy who headed up the whole, he was like the whatever, the controller, CFO of the organization, said, you know, well, now we're actually replacing those mindless automatons with a computer to actually do this job way more efficiently and effectively and cost, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And then I went into his office and I knocked on the door. I'm like, hi, I just want you to know that that mindless automaton sits in my office and I think you owe her an apology because I don't think what you said was right. She has spent her 20 years at GE doing this, as you call it, mindless automaton job. And I don't think it's right. So I'd like you to, whenever it's convenient, you to come down and apologize to her. Now, is this not feeling compassion? I don't know what that is, but I just couldn't take it.
Well, what you did was you engaged in an action to alleviate the suffering of that particular woman.
Okay.
Right, which is quite lovely, you know, that you did that. Now, someone could also go in and do that, not particularly because they want to alleviate that person's suffering, but because in a principled sense, it was wrong.
Oh, no, yeah. Okay. It was more to alleviate her suffering.
Okay, so when it's to alleviate the suffering, then it's more in the vein of compassion. It depends. You know, when you take action, as always, as people are learning now, it's the intention behind the action that determines the energetic reality of that action.
Right.
Because you can say the same words in a different way.
Interesting.
Right? So you can go in and fight with that guy because principally, he violated one of your principles.
Yeah.
Right. And you really aren't thinking about the woman whose feelings were hurt and who's suffering because of it. In your case, that's why you went in.
Yeah.
To alleviate that woman's suffering. So I think that would fall into the category if you were feeling in your heart.
Oh, no. I was just, when he said that, my heart just sank. I'm like, oh, great. So this poor woman, and I saw her sitting there and she was shaking. And I was like, I can't take this.
And here's the thing as well. If you went in and did it with loving kindness to him,
no, I wasn't doing it.
It doesn't
loving
sound
kindness.
Like you were nasty to
no,
him
I
or
wasn't.
Mean.
No,
so,
I wasn't.
So, you know, expand the notion of loving kindness. It's just being kind.
Right.
You know, you go in and you say, yes, you know, this is something that I would like to ask you to do. You know, there's kindness towards him and you want to alleviate the pain of the other woman. I'd say it would fall into that category.
Okay, I think I just have to add the kindness, because the other example was when someone said something to me that was very rude in a meeting, and mm-hmm. I went into his office and I said, I'm going to make up the name. Mm-hmm. The guy at Microsoft. Look, my hands are clenching just thinking about it. And I said, Bruce, what you did in that meeting when you did this was totally unacceptable. Mm-hmm. I never want to hear anything like that again uttered with respect to me or anything like that, because mm-hmm. it was totally disrespectful and it's unacceptable. And I just want you to know that. Mm-hmm. And he just sat there like shocked. But I did. But you know what that was? The intention was out of a love for myself, because like you cannot treat me like that.
All you have to do is add on the love for the person you're talking
That's
to.
That's the part that I miss. Okay, so how would I have done that in a loving way?
Compassion.
Said Bruce.
Well, you have to really understand where Bruce was coming from. That's what compassion
okay,
is.
Okay, so
you
if I had
to understand
Bruce,
that.
Where were you coming from when you made that remark?
This is the essence of having emotional maturity. Because emotional maturity means you understand the world of emotions. You understand how to navigate them. You understand that if you can't stand something over there, it's because you can't stand it inside of yourself.
Okay.
You know, and emotionally, those are huge signals. I mean, the world of emotion is the world of signals that's there to teach you something about yourself. You know, you're losing yourself here with this emotion, anger, blame, judgment, negativity, right? Come back, find out, you know, emotional maturity means learning how to be loving and kind to everybody else in the world, even though they hurt you. Now, let me be clear, that does not mean that you stand and let someone abuse you. That does not mean that you have to stay in a job where the boss berates you or a marriage where your spouse berates you. I am not advocating that at all.
Let me be clear. Yeah.
But we're talking about an inner expansion of your consciousness, your awareness, and your heart so that you can be happy.
Yeah. What I didn't do is I didn't go into, as you suggested, went into the bathroom and got emotionally neutral. I just was like, I'm pissed off and I'm going to his office. But had I been emotionally neutral, I think that would – and said, you know, he just probably doesn't know or whatever.
And some people call compassion a state of emotional neutrality because in compassion, there isn't any other. There's no one over there. There's just, we're all in pain and suffering. So that's why it's called oftentimes a state of emotional neutrality, because there is no other to feel anything towards. There's just, we're all in pain.
Wonderful.
Beautiful,
so that's a perfect
notion.
Yeah. A beautiful way to close the segment. So big thanks to you, Ragini Michaels, author of the new book, Unflappable, 6 Steps to Staying Happy, Centered, and Peaceful No Matter What. Make sure to check out Ragini's website at www.raginimichaels.com.
That's right.
Or going up to iTunes to download some more shows like this on the Fire It Up with CJ show. We'll be right back.